views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the people making them, and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers. Nothing you hear should be construed as legal or medical advice. This broadcast is for entertainment and educational purposes only.
Mr. and Mrs. America, I'm sorry to intrude into your complacent little lives like this, but we need to have a little talk.
No more tricks, no more lies, only truth.
And the time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Sovereignty Sunday, Sunday, paranoid, paranoid, paranoid.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Sunday night, May 8th, I believe. I'm not exactly sure. I think that's what it is. It's Mother's Day, whatever day that falls on in 2011. You're joining us here on Defiant For You Media. I've got a little bit of a static buzz. I don't know if that's coming through, and if it is, I apologize, but it might just be on my end. Tonight, I have a very special guest. I have Jacob Appelman from Next Step Radio Show. He contacted me a while back, and I did a show on his, or a guest appearance on his show. And tonight, I'm going to bring him to you guys and let you guys know a little bit about what he does. And Jacob, are you there, brother?
I am here. Am I coming through?
You are coming through. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is the Sunday night, May 8th episode of Sovereignty Sundays, and like I said, we got Jacob from the Next Step Radio Show. How you doing tonight?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, well, tonight we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I don't have anything really planned. We're just going to kind of let the show go where it goes, and we'll see where that is. First of all, just to kind of give an introduction, can you tell the people who you are and kind of what you do? I know that you got Next Step Radio Show, but you also got a lot of other stuff going on. So kind of let people know what Next Step Radio Show is, and then take it from there and let them know kind of what you do in this quote-unquote truth movement.
Right on. First of all, I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to any and all mothers out there. That would be the most important job on the planet if we want to right any of these wrongs. You know, proper parenting and raising the next generation to fight this beast outside the matrix is of utmost importance. So happy Mother's Day to any mother listening. A little bit about myself. Let's see. I am a father. I have four children, 11, 9, 7, and 3. I am a homeschool teacher. We are avid gardeners. I've spent the bulk of the last 2 weeks growing non-GMO foods in my backyard so that, I can fight that battle there. I had about a year after 9/11, I got involved with a radio station in Kansas City. I actually came in to do an interview on the Federal Reserve to try and wake up some local people. The show was a hit, and I stayed on as a co-host, and I currently co-produce that show. So I've been in the radio game for nearly a decade. Let me mention the website, too. It's gofindtheothers.com. That's gofindtheothers.com. And it was about this year's anniversary of 9/11. I got pretty fed up with the waking other people up type mind frame that a lot of the truthers are in, and I don't, disparage that, activity, but, there's a lot of people doing it, and I wanted to focus on the solutions, because in my meta research, I've found lots of solutions that work. implemented them in my own life, experienced the veracity of said truth, so that I knew them to be correct. You know, you can't fight the school board or the Department of Education, but you can homeschool your kids. You know, I do that. So, I know that works. I know their education. I know what they're being told and what they're not being told. You know, you can't convince McDonald's to, you know, serve healthy food, but you don't have to go there and you can grow your own. You know, so I did that. You know, so there was a whole list of real life solutions that I'd found, through experience to be reality. And so I wanted to start my own show, which you mentioned, the Next Step Radio Show, because after, you know, quote unquote, everybody wakes up, you know, then what's the next step? Everybody wants to know, you know, now what do we do with all this information? So I talk about things, you know, the Free State Project or the No State Project, sorry. When you were on, you know, I talk about homeschooling. I talk about independent artists. You know, I have holistic cancer researchers on, you know, meta researchers, you know, the whole bit. So there's lots of things that we can do in this truth movement to, you know, make a real change. And so I've the Next Step Radio Show is dedicated to real solutions real people can really achieve. So that gets us up to date with, you know, what I've been doing. Webmaster, homeschool teacher, co-producer on an FM radio show, an all-around meta researcher, and big mouth. So that's where we're at.
Awesome. And that's one of the things a lot of us in this movement are constantly bombarded with, the constant negativity that is out there and constantly bombarded with the problems. And it seems like so many of the researchers, quote unquote, and leaders, quote unquote, in the movement, they don't really tend to spend very much time focusing on the solutions. Yes, there are a lot of problems, but human beings are very resourceful. We're very innovative. And any problem that's out there, there's a mind out there trying to solve that problem. And when we concentrate and focus all of our energy solely on the problems and not on the solutions, I really think that we're doing ourselves and anybody else that we might have influence over a terrible injustice. And so that's one of the things that I really like about Go Find the Others and what you're doing in general with the Next Step Radio Show and everything is, like you said, highlighting so many of the solutions that are out there that seem to be getting ignored by even the leaders of the alternative media. I guess that would lead to the question, with so many solutions out there, and I myself have found plenty of solutions. I tend to stick to court battles and legal situations, and I found plenty of remedies in the legal venue from, you know, getting all kinds of cases thrown out over a plethora of different technicalities that some people might call them, but just basically you know, solutions that are there in the legal system for people that are willing to find them. And you were mentioning cancer researchers, and I know there's lots of, you know, different solutions out there for cancer treatment, different solutions for even things like AIDS treatments and all kinds of stuff. Why do you think that it is that so many of the people that are in this movement that are supposed to be fighting, you know, right beside us, are not taking this direction and not bringing the solutions to people, and instead just tend to focus only on the negative stuff? And not that I think that we should completely ignore it or turn a blind eye to what's going on there, but I think that it's responsible to spend at least equal time and equal energy trying to find solutions for the problems. But it seems like at the forefront of this movement, the majority of the talking heads inside the alternative media and the truth movement seem to not really spend any time at all discussing these solutions. What do you think the motivation for that is, whether it's deliberate or just coincidental? Why do you think it is that way?
Well, I've actually spent quite a bit of time on that. I term it like this. I've done an insane amount of research. I call it a homeschool PhD. I was about a semester away from my bachelor's degree, and I was reflecting back on my high school and college career, and it hit me one day that I hadn't learned anything yet that I couldn't have figured out myself. There's no holy grail or philosopher's stone, you know, found in a university that, you know, this $300 a credit hour was, you know, justified. There's, you know, all of this plethora of information is everywhere. And it hit me that, you know, I can learn all of this and more. I even felt in a lot of my classes that I was being held back. Like there's, you know, this universe of information, because I graduated high school in 1995, you know, which was right around when the internet hit. My freshman year in college, you know, I was my bachelor's degree is in information systems, so you know I hit the ground running with you know the World Wide Web, and I'd found that there, you know, besides porn and you know pirating MP3s, there was all this vast information out there that just, you know, took a hold of, and I was, you know, I just started devouring it, and I couldn't get enough because there's all these questions I had, you know, the my philosophy classes didn't answer. The, you know, I got a minor in business administration, and they never once told, you know, us anything about the fiat currency or how the Federal Reserve worked. So once I started learning more and more outside of organized school, I found that, you know, this was a pretty simple process. And anything you wanted to figure out, you could figure out as long as you dedicated yourself to it. So I call it meta research. I went through every topic known to man, you know, read 160 some books, you know, on what we'd call the New World Order, you know, back before YouTube and Google Video, you know, Kazaa Lite, ShareBear, LimeWire, all these things were there. And like I was saying, just, you know, everybody I knew was using that for porn, and I was like, wait a minute, there's, you know, all these, you know, Jordan Maxwell and David Icke and Michael Tesarian and all these people had, you know, these documentaries on there, and I devoured this stuff, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I would watch these documentaries with the search engine open, and anytime they said something that I'd never heard of, you know, I'd do another search on it and download a whole new set of documentaries and order a couple more books. So it just snowballed and snowballed and snowballed. And I got to the point where I made it to the bottom of a lot of these rabbit holes. And I found out once you get, because most people get down a couple levels and they think that's enough, or, you know, it's a dead end, or maybe this just goes on forever and they kind of give up, excuse me, or they become comfortable. But I kept going and kept going and kept going and kept going. And I made it all the way to the bottom of a lot of these rabbit holes, and I found out there's nothing but mirrors down there in every single one of them. And I thought, wow, you know, maybe this is an anomaly. So I make it all the way to the bottom of the next rabbit hole. Yep, another mirror. The next rabbit hole. Yep, another mirror. And I realized that the global economy is the culmination of all of our individual inabilities to live within our means. I realized the public school could only dumb down children that were there. I realized that the Iraq and Afghanistan and all these insane wars were being funded by we little people who voluntarily give away our hard-earned labor. And so I thought, you know, all the disease, you know, you don't have to poison yourself if you eat better. You don't have to, you know, pick the lesser of two evils in the pyramid of control that they call, you know, politics. And so I realized that the rubber met the road right in front of me. The bottom of all these rabbit holes were mirrors, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that if I want to change the world, I have to start by changing my world. And so once I started expressing these types of insights to other meta researchers, that's where the disconnect comes in. We've been trained to follow the leader, accept authority, do what you're told. And so a lot of people, you know, even if the slave master, you know, is filling you full of crap, they're so accustomed to slavery that being free is almost scarier than remaining a slave. And so, sure, there are disinformation artists, there are COINTELPRO, you know, there's the whole gamut of people out there. But the core answer to your question is personal responsibility. Everybody wants to make it somebody else's fault. Everybody wants to play the victim, and this is being done to them. They don't realize the power that they have as individuals. See, everybody wants to change the world with a Ron Paul or a new currency system, or you know, it's not going to happen that way. You have to start with yourself. Are you in the military obeying unconstitutional orders? Are you funding illegal wars? Are you complying with unconstitutional legislation? See, all of these things are our fault. You know, yes, the dark cult of evil, you know, they're scumbag bastards. They have, you know, darkened souls, and they work for, you know, disincarnate entities that have no empathy or compassion for the humanity as a whole. But at the same time, our compliance is what feeds the beast system. So I think the majority of these people, and it hit me when Police State 4 came out. I thought, oh my God, you know, if you didn't get it 20 minutes into Police State 1, you know, Police State 4 isn't going to do it for you. You know, this isn't helping. You know, all the, you know, and I was a big Ron Paul freak. We did the meetups. You know, we had the, you know, I even got on some pretty big Clear Channel stations in Kansas City as one of the, you know, quote unquote leaders of the Ron Paul movement in Kansas City. You know, and they just make fun of you and marginalize it. And there's, you know, the political system, you either join them or fight them. Either way, they get your energy. But there's another choice. We don't have to put our energy there at all. So the personal responsibility bit is the scariest. Nobody likes to look in that mirror. Everybody gets close to the end of the rabbit hole and they see a reflection that looks a lot like them. And the ego, the victim mentality, the slave, the Stockholm syndrome, you know, everybody wants to please their oppressor. You know, that's so embedded, even in the alternative media, that's the scariest part. And like I was saying, realizing that we have the power is the second scariest part. Who wants to admit that? Who wants to admit that you're more powerful than George Bush? Who wants to feel sorry for this guy? You know, if MK Ultra is real, if Skull and Bones is real, if the CIA is real, if these people are that horrible, imagine growing up with that, you know, as your dad and your grandpa funded the, you know, your grandpa funded Hitler. You know, I feel sorry for this guy. He's a clown. He's the most terrified person on the planet. He didn't shoot anybody in Iraq. He's doing what he's told to keep his, you know, backside out of the, you know, Clockwork Orange helmet, you know, Poppy Bush has in the basement. He wasn't doing it. You know what I'm saying? And so all these soldiers, you know, obeying these unconstitutional orders, they're the ones killing innocent civilians. All of those lowly people who look at our paychecks at the end of the week or end of the month, that gigantic deduction that's out of there, that paid for all those deaths in Iraq. It's our fault at this point, especially with the rise of the alternative media. That should be completely obvious to people now that, yes, these people are wicked scumbags, and, you know, their power is sucked from us. So I think that's why nobody wants to go that route, because it's going to take turning in your car that you have a loan on. It's going to take cutting off your cable bill, you know, and stop watching TV. It's going to take gardening or buying from a farmer, you know, locally. Who wants to get up off their butt and do any of that when you could just say, you know, George Bush is doing this to me. Barack Obama is doing this to me. The Council on Foreign Relations is ruining my life. It's not. You know, we're acquiescing to this, and that's where I see the huge disconnect, even in the alternative media, is people refusing to, you know, accept personal responsibility.
Yeah, and I think that one of the things that I've a conclusion that I've come to over the last couple of weeks, as far as a lot of the fear-mongering and the basically feeding that that victim mentality, you know, feeding into that, yes, you are the victim, yes, they are the perpetrators, yes, they are the ones that are making your life miserable. I think the reason that a lot of the people that participate in that type of mouthpiecing, a lot of the reason is not particularly them, that they want to make you feel victimized, but you want to, a majority of the people out there already feel victimized, and if they're going to listen to somebody, they want to listen to somebody who's going to make them feel good about the way they see the world and make them feel justified in their victimization. And so if you want to keep those listeners who like to feel victimized, which, truth be told, when you start waking up to all the stuff that's been being done in your name or that is being done to you against your knowledge or against your will, it will make you feel like a victim. But from that point, you have to move forward. You have to take that next step. And I've always wondered if some of these people out there deliberately keep you from taking that next step, or if it's just the fact of, if you want to get those millions of listeners, you need to reinforce and tell them what they already believe, that they're victims, that it's somebody else's fault, and they're constantly going to be victims. They're going to live and die as victims. It's terribly troubling to me, but it's just like that rabbit hole with the mirror at the end of it. When you look at the it's very easy to point at these big names and call them COINTELPRO or call them, you know, controlled opposition or whatever, but at the end of the day, the only reason they have the power is because they have those listeners. And why do they have those listeners or those viewers? It's because those people that are tuning in by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, whatever, they want to be fed that message of victimization. They want to be fed that message that they're powerless, that it's somebody else's fault. So when it comes down to it, even when you look at, you know, you can blame the particular radio show host or documentary filmmaker for spreading that message and fear-mongering, but when you look at it, just like the McDonald's may put the hamburger out, but it takes somebody to buy it to keep McDonald's on top. That particular radio show host or documentary filmmaker may put out the fear-mongering without a solution, but it's going to take thousands of people absorbing and copying DVDs in order to keep him or her on top. So, like you said, it's another mirror. It's you know, how much of the responsibility lies on them, how much of it relies on us, and you see that same logic, whether it's mainstream media, mainstream education, and it rings true in the alternative media as well, which kind of brings me to my next question about when we look around at so many people inside of the truth movement, are they really awake by watching an Alex Jones video or a Ron Paul campaign for liberty and staying in the same form of mentality, staying in the same way of thinking, the same way of living? Now they have a lot of anger and they have somebody to direct that anger at, but really, have they woken up? Have they taken that next step? And I think the answer is no, and that's why I really love what you do over at Go Find the Others and with your Next Step radio show is that you take the people that are thinking they're already awake and, in my opinion, they're on the verge of true awareness, but they still haven't crossed over. They're still in a semi-conscious state, and you help motivate them to take that next step, which is just something that I think is incredibly lacking in this movement. And so I just want to say a big ups for you for doing that. What was it exactly that brought you to decide to take all of this stuff that you were finding and put it all into one collection and start trying to basically build the ability for people to take that next step?
It was a couple of things. One of them, and I'll get ready for the hate mail now. This 9/11 anniversary, you know, I was going over all the 9/11 information that's been out thus far. You know, and it still seemed like something was lacking. You know, whether it's JFK or 9/11, there's been a lot of alternative research, but obviously nobody's hit the nail on the head because the stagnation is apparent. by circumstances of synchronicity, or maybe Terrence McKenna is driving one of the levers on the transcendental object at the end of time. However it happened, I ran into a researcher extraordinaire named Dr. Judy Wood. I had multiple, even one 20 phone hour conversation with her, and then several little ones. I devoured her work, spoke to her personally, and I saw that there was another component to 9/11 that, I have 300 documentaries on 9/11, a couple books, and I've digested all of the 9/11 truth from hither to yon, and nobody had ever brought up the stuff she was talking about, and it struck me as very odd, because I thought, I considered a lot of people in the 9/11 truth movement, as intelligent, well-meaning, truth seekers. So a very famous truth seeker, I was a member of his website. I had a couple accounts, to leave comments and articles and things. And when I just simply mentioned on this anniversary of September 11th, hey, fellow truth seekers, go check out Dr. Judy Wood's stuff. There's a bunch of stuff here that, hasn't been mentioned, in the mainstream alternative media. And then I kept noticing these comments and articles were getting deleted. And I thought, that was weird. This is a 9/11 truther. And so is Dr. Judy Wood. And these comments are getting deleted. So it kind of made me mad. I didn't know if the NSA was screwing around or what have you. So I left 150 separate articles and comments, concerning the same message. And one by one, they were all deleted, 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 deleted. So I sent an email straight to the webmaster saying, what's going on here? Bang, that account was terminated. I couldn't even log on anymore. Well, I had made this preparation long ago in case anybody had ever jacked with this particular website, since it was the biggest. So I brought out my backup account I'd never used, logged back in, did 75 more of these. And then, bang, instantly that account was deleted. And then I got an IP block. I couldn't even get on the website anymore. I thought, wow, this is running deep. There might even be, segments of the truth movement that's part of the cover-up. So I thought, man, there's got to be, something bigger and better. There's got to be solutions. Because when you fully digest Dr. Judy Wood's work, at the end of it, the problem and the solution are the same object, the same science, the same thought. This is the whole cover-up, and I think we've got a break coming up soon. And so I'll summarize here, and then we can jump back into it. Free energy is the crux of the biscuit. All the way from how the pyramids were built to Nikola Tesla and World War I, the inner sanctums of the Third Reich and what they were doing during World War II, versus the petrodollar, in current world conflicts. All of this hovers over free energy. Even the UFO enigma is a component of free energy. The extra destruction caused at the World Trade Center's Pentagon and wherever else is connected to free energy. So I knew the solution has been developed and perfected, and that's why this thing's going into afterburner. So I knew we had to get on the solutions hard and heavy, because we had the power. If you look at that pyramid with the eye of Lucifer or whoever the hell's up there, it's held up by all these other bricks at the bottom, and we're the bricks. We don't have to hold them up. We can get out of the way and let that thing smash to the ground. It's all in our hands. So that's where I got started with the solutions bent in a hurry, because this stuff's out, and the cult of evil, as George Bush calls them, has this at their disposal. So I knew it was time to put the pedal to the metal with the solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, when we get back from the other side of the break, we're going to talk about Dr. Wood and some of her findings. We're also going to get into free energy and the implications of that. We'll be right back on the other side. This is Sovereignty Sundays with Paranoid and Jacob Appleman. Peace. Forces, they will stop.
those who stood up and spoke out for freedom and liberty, and in turn lost their own freedom. These poor souls have been thrown behind the walls of the prison industrial complex with the hopes that their voices and their causes will fall silent. Don't let that happen. Get involved. Go to DefiantForYou.com. Go to the political prisoners contact page. Get some addresses and write them. We also have info on how to get books to these men and women through the Books for Prisoners programs. Help Defiant For You be the voice for the voiceless. Defiant For You Media. DefiantForYou.com. Because we all determine our own level of involvement.
Sound the horns. Salute to the soldiers. Yo, sound the horns, I destroy you with poisonous noises.
Unlearned.
Your boy is anointed as the voice of the voices.
Yeah.
My people appointed and the flow is double jointed. When death comes for me, I be waiting for him with guns pointed. Make the wrong choice, you make your own death bid. Shit ain't sweet like a bakery, but I get bread. Get on the mic and for my people, I'm getting revenge. If we think in reverse, then how we gonna get ahead? We telling them youngins to stop selling dimes and tell them to swallow their pride for 525. You gotta be kidding, with this economy slipping, we all feeling like there's something that's gotta be missing. The flow is like a winning lottery ticket, hard to come by. Represent the lives of millions inside of one guy. Love my niggas in the struggle surviving. Try to show them the other side without the shucking and jiving. The drugs and the violence where nothing is promised. I'm thugging in silence. Brothers like me a while till I'm above with the comments. Shit, the ink in my pen is the blood of a scholar. Though I got a lot of weapons, my biggest gun is my knowledge.
21 guns salute to the troops and the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 guns salute to the old, to the young. I'm loading my gun, never holding my tongue. 21 gun salute to the troops, to the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 gun salute to the old, to the young. I am loading my gun, never holding my tongue. For nothing.
Nicholas Avenue, develop my attitude. Intellect got me out together with well-balanced dudes. So that means I'll do one thing out of two. If you hot, I can cool you off or smack the fire out of you.
Bang.
It seems like no one pays attention to a rough day. White girls always end up on the front page.
Yep.
I gotta show people enough. The way someday.
What?
I gotta get my own house in order like feng shui.
Fuck.
Some say shit's never gonna change, but I'ma die trying
as
long as I'm got it.
And?
God's watching above me and my song sound gully while my baby boy loves me. My mama was proud of me. Everybody wanna be somebody that only makes me.
What?
Shit on the people we know just to impress strangers.
What?
Thinking that we different cause now we getting some paper.
Huh?
Haters is more than willing to put us back in our place quick. I'm not without sin. I know I need work, so the advice that I give applies to me first. This is all inside of me.
Making it rain the day that I die, cause the sky but wash hates a crop.
21 gun salute to the troops and the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 gun salute to the old, to the young. I am loading my gun, never holding my tongue. 21 gun salute to the troops, to the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 gun salute to the old, to the young. I am loading my gun, never holding my tongue.
I'm
doing
whatever's meant to be. Gangsters don't die, they get arrested and turn state's evidence eventually.
Word.
On ghetto blocks, we try to get our paper straighter than 9:15, 3:45, or 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or 12:30, I'm heaven bound, but I'm hell worthy. God got love for sinners, now that's real mercy.
Real mercy.
And when I write, I turn the greatest into amateurs, cause in a past life, I was a dictator in Africa.
Huh.
With all the medals and badges, intelligent man with the gift, keeping people from thinking ass backwards. Rappers is bad actors. Fronting on stage, so you gotta sell your changes to pay back taxes. Watch how my lyrics knock them out of position. When I'm spitting, I'm Bob Dylan with hip-hop visions. Nigga, you gotta listen. Every person with an opinion is not a hater, but every hater got an opinion. Living what I was wishing for on the steps of my building. You've been dealing with pretenders, now you getting the real shit. You can't reload in life, you only got one shot. You better hope it's not a Shaq free throw.
21 gun salute to the troops and the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 gun salute to the old, to the young. I am loading my gun, never holding my tongue. 21 gun salute to the troops and the soldiers. I'm fighting in the streets or the booth till it's over. 21 gun salute to the old, to the young. I am loading my gun, never holding my tongue for nothing.
Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gio of Truth Frequency and Global Resistance, here to tell you to tune in to Ghost of the Republic every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on DefiantForYou.com. for in-depth interviews with the artists that matter to you. Don't miss Ghosts of the Republic, the number one truth music radio show in the world. We're going live with my boys Ghost Dog and Paranoid. I'll see you there.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. As long as the Matrix exists, the human race will never be free.
Sovereignty Sundays with Paranoid. Paranoid.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Sovereignty Sundays. This is May 8th. We're on live on livefree.fm and Defiant For You Media, defiantforyou.com. I want to say big shout outs to Kurt for letting us do the show from his network and let me simulcast it over on my website. That jam that we just heard right there was Unlearn, 21 Gun Salute. And Unlearn was our guest on Ghosts of the Republic this week. So if you guys want to check out the archives, you can find them both on Defiant For You and over at livefree.fm. As far as well as a ton of other shows that we've done, you can find over at livefree.fm as well. We are back with Jacob from the Next Step Radio Show and GoFindTheOthers.com. And is that correct, GoFindTheOthers.com?
Absolutely.
All right, word. And before we left for the break, we were talking about Dr. Judy Wood and some of her research. I know that she just put out a book recently called Where Did the Towers Go? And the information discussed in this book and in her research as well, in general, has been shunned by a lot of the people in the quote-unquote Patriot movement. A lot of the people at the forefront of this movement have been acting, I don't want to make accusations, but and their actions almost seem to be that of gatekeepers trying to keep some of the stuff that this woman has been trying to get out there. It seems like they're trying to keep it held back from the people. You mentioned how you would try to put some of her information on a popular forum that's out there, and it kept getting deleted, and then you tried to put it on from another account, and both of those accounts got suspended, and then they went so far as to block your IP address to where you couldn't even get onto their website at all. Seems a little bit drastic, especially in this movement where we're supposed to value freedom of speech so much, and it seems like a lot of the people that do a lot of the gatekeeping and their actions seem to be the most incriminating as far as tactics of what controlled opposition would be up to. And it seems like they're very quick to do this exact type of stuff to people that are maybe putting out some explanations that go contrary to what the popular belief is. What really is troublesome for this, or for me on this account, is I wasn't at 9/11. I don't know what happened that day. I wasn't involved with the operation, so I don't know exactly how it all went down. I know that we're being lied to. I know that there's a lot of unanswered questions about it. But I won't take a firm stance and say it was bombs in the building and radio-controlled airplanes, and anybody who disagrees with that is controlled opposition and they're trying to steer you down a path. I will not make that statement because I don't know. I don't have the explanation for what happened. I've seen a lot of very convincing pictures that make me believe that, even the alternative media has some of the details and facts of what happened that day skewed and incorrect. Dr. Judy Wood, she has a lot of evidence out there, like you were mentioning, free energy, but particularly directed energy and directed energy weapons. That might explain for a lot of the inconsistencies both in the official story and in the alternative media story of as to, how the towers came down. a lot of people say that there was controlled demolitions, and if you disagree with that, it's because you're trying to discredit the movement, or you're trying to, you know, take people down a rabbit hole that leads to nowhere. And I know that Dr. Wood has been accused of this. I do not agree with that accusation, because after looking at her stuff, I say that what she has brought forward with the evidence and just, you know, basic common sense, it seems to reason that her research is actually a lot more, you know, on the ball as to what might have actually happened. So do you want to kind of just break down, since you were trying so hard to get it on that forum, do you kind of just want to break down the basis of what her hypothesis for what happened that day was?
Absolutely. And I want to preface this with a revelation I've had during this whole process. Most of the quote-unquote truth movement will tell you that the banksters are at the top of the pyramid, and that's what we need to fight. Or, you know, a lot of people will tell you the military-industrial complex is in control, and then there's all kinds of subdivisions of both of those. Well, I, through my journey, have become acquainted with Jan Ervin. You know, I've had direct experience with entheogens, that power inside the individual, and a real good schooling on the trivium and quadrivium. So I can spot logical fallacies, you know, like a polka-dotted hooker at church. There's some things that I don't even argue with people because it's, you know, obvious, and either they're not willing to understand or paid to argue with you. And since I have a minor in my bachelor's degree in business administration, you know, I understand the money system real well now, up to and including my homeschool PhD. The world reserve currency is fiat, but it is backed by something. You know, they do print it out of thin air. They do charge interest on it that will never be able to be paid back. But it is backed by oil. The world reserve currency is the petrodollar. So the next step here, the military-industrial complex, though the Navy does have a few nuclear-powered subs and aircraft carriers, most of their jets, Hummers, tanks, you know, that type of thing, you know, they run on gasoline. So they're subservient to the oil boys. If you study the robber barons as, you know, the fictitious country that we live in, went through its stages, you know, this oil cartel came before the global banking cartel. The fractional reserve currency, you know, a lot of people, it's on the books that it's got to be at least $10 on reserve for every 90 they can loan out. You know, if you really analyze derivatives and collateralize debt and all these other things, it's infinitely larger than that. But even on the books, their 10% came first through the robber barons, who were the energy cartel. I call them the Petro Boys. So the Petro Boys are on top of the banksters because the world reserve currency is the petrodollar. The military-industrial complex is subservient to the Petro Boys, or their machines aren't going to work without it. So this brought me to the understanding that, you know, there's something bigger here. And, you know, I've done a ton of UFO research also, so I realized that once I found Dr. Judy Wood and she started explaining a lot of this, I could see how that cover-up went that deep, because the only thing that would bust both of those paradigms, the military-industrial complex and the international bankers and the Petro Boys, is free energy. And then all of a sudden, my research with Tesla lined up real well with 9/11. All of my occult, dark magic science of the Nazis lined up real well with World War II. And then everything since, like I said, with the Middle East crap, you know, is directly, you know, we didn't attack Iraq for the oil to take. we attacked him to make sure it was backed by the U.S. dollar, because Saddam was monkeying with the euro and maybe the ruble. You know, if any of these guys step outside of the petrodollar, that's when they get, shocked and awed. Or in the Muslim world, the seven rogue nations, the only thing they have in common is their refusal to charge interest on fake money, as wicked or non-wicked as they may be. So I knew all this was hinging around free energy because it was out. And so when I had this discussion with Dr. Judy Wood, I knew something else was amok. I knew that we invaded Iraq before without 9/11. I knew that we've passed unconstitutional legislation before without 9/11. So those two reasons being given for 9/11, though they may be a subcomponent, aren't the real reason, because we'll attack. Look at Libya. Did we need 9/11 to go bomb the hell out of them? No. You know, they don't care about false flags. You know, most of the time, the false flags are you know, ritualistic for their, you know, their Christmas or something. And so with Dr. Judy Wood, she had amassed a ton of information that made a whole lot of sense to me, because I could see, like I said, that there was something else going on here. So you want me to break down like just the basics of her research and how it ties in?
Yeah, I mean, specifically with 9/11, I think, and then we'll kind of break off from there. But she has some very interesting theories about how the towers fell. And right. I've experienced the same thing that you said you experienced, where people – I've seen posts and forums where people have kind of – hinted at what she kind of brings forward and have been immediately silenced and experienced the same thing that you did, where their accounts were frozen or they were the links were killed. And I find it odd, because we're supposed to be fighting for freedom of speech. We're supposed to be fighting for, you know, everybody has the right to have their own opinion, yet this lady's opinion seems to be stifled at every venue. And when it comes to 9/11, it's very shocking what she's saying. But once you get past that, initial "this is not possible" mentality, and you look at what she's saying, it seems a lot more feasible than even what, you know, the main mouthpieces in our alternative media, their explanations for what happened seemed to be that they don't have. It seems that they're not as logical as what she's saying. So in particular with what happened to the towers, if you could just kind of start there.
Okay. There's a lot of information she collected that didn't fit the official or the unofficial story, and there's not any real chronological way to go over it. So I'll just start naming some of them, and then as we go through, we can tie it all together. Like I said, I have 300 documentaries on 9/11 and had invested, you know, thousands of hours in the truth movement. And it wasn't until I spoke with her that I saw that the largest hurricane of 9/11 was parked 40 nautical miles off of Manhattan on that morning, Tuesday, September 11th, 2001. The largest hurricane, Hurricane Aaron of that year, was parked 40 nautical miles off of Manhattan. Hurricanes have been known to go that far north up the coast, but that was quite odd, especially since, when it's in Florida or the Bahamas or the Caribbean, you know, these people get a couple weeks notice that these things are coming. You know, if you want to get out of Dodge, you can. If you want to put on your metal shutters, you can. Expect high tides, tsunamis, extreme weather. You know, hurricanes are a big deal even back then, up into including today. And the fact that it took me 10 years to see a picture of the largest hurricane of 2001 off the coast of New York, it punched me in the gut, to say the least. Why hadn't any of these other people gone, you know, why is there a giant hurricane right there? So that was one piece that hadn't fit into, I don't know if hurricanes are required for thermate or thermite, but I don't think so. The next part is the seismic data, whether it's loose change, any of the additions, and or all of those movies talk about the seismic data, and they use that as proof for explosions. Now, it wasn't until I met Dr. Wood that she, and let me mention, her bachelor's degree is in engineering. Her master's is in buildings, structural something. Man, my book's in the other room where I just read it right off of there. And her PhD is in phrenometry, which would be a light-based frequency type study. So she's not an idiot. And her specialties are actually in this field. And she was a professor at the time at Clemson University, you know, teaching things like structural engineering and phrenometry. So she knew that, you know, she had the ability to collect this data scientifically. And when she showed me, for example, the King Dome, well, when they blew up the football stadium in Seattle, the seismic readout in Seattle when they imploded that building, and it had been gutted and was 1/15th the size of the Trade Center, registered 2.6 on the Richter scale when that happened. Because when you do a controlled demolition, you use shape charges and things like thermite to cut out structural components, the load-bearing columns, anywhere, you know, large, you know, metal beams are connected. You know, they blow those out, and then gravity does the rest of the work, brings it to the ground, slams it into a bunch of pieces, and then they scoop up the debris, and off it goes. So the King Dome registered 2.6 on the Richter scale. All of the 9/11 documentaries I'd seen up until meeting her all mentioned the seismic data, and nobody's disputing that. And don't quote me on which tower was which, but one of them registered a 2.1 and one registered a 2.3. Just a few ticks smaller than the King Dome, still, you know, quite, you know, sizable compared to background noise. But okay, these things are 110 stories each, 500,000 tons of concrete and steel slamming to the ground in a controlled demolition should register more than a football stadium that's been hollowed out for months afterwards. Okay, so we've got a hurricane that's odd. We've got seismic data that nobody disputes that's odd. And then in her engineering expertise, she was able to calculate the debris pile. Everybody talks about, you know, ground zero and the rubble, and I've seen pictures of it. But if we think these things were a quarter of a mile tall, you know, even if a lot of it was smashed up, you know, obviously the pile is going to be significantly smaller, but the scientific calculations of what was left, 80% of the buildings were missing. You know, if you figure there's 8 feet of open space in between the floors, you have 110 floors, let's say they're 3 feet thick, that's 330 feet worth of debris at the very least. Now, the official story is the pancake collapse, but we see no pancakes. The unofficial story is controlled demolitions, but there's not even a rubble pile. This thing is missing 80% of the debris that should be there. She noticed also in her expertise with things like controlled demolitions, toilets survive quite nicely in controlled demolition because they're bright, white, shiny, and pretty. You know, they'll crack and break and crumble. But, you know, part of her expertise in like building codes, you can only have or have to have so many toilets per so many people per so many floors. So she did a rough calculation of 3,000 toilets at the bare minimum per building. Let's say 90% of those were effed up. There should be several hundred toilets in this debris pile. And as she's scanning the photos of the destruction, she's not seeing one toilet. And that sounds weird, and you know, toilets have, but her training taught her that, you know, that the toilets are significant because they're bright white, shiny. They don't bust into dust. And there was at least 3,000 per building, so 6,000 toilets total, and she's not seeing one of them in a pile that I think at its height was 70 feet tall, which if you took out the floors is about 7 floors. So like I said, we're missing at least 80% of the debris. Well, where did it go? Hence the name of her book, Where Did the Towers Go? If you look at the panoramic view of the destruction as these towers are quote-unquote collapsing, you see a huge dust cloud, and we're all familiar with that. But this thing is not only gigantic, but it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and racing down the street. You know, a few of the 9/11 documentaries talk about pyroclastic clouds, how this dust was able to, you know, cross the Hudson River, you know, in a cumulative fashion, which to her said no way in hell that this stuff is going that far and that fast. You know, and like I said, in a controlled demolition, they bust out the structural joints. This thing crashes to the ground. You should have huge chunks of stuff left. And this is constantly refining itself into finer and finer dust. Another huge component of her work, she calls them the toasted cars. There are parking lots full of cars, and up into including the FDR Parkway, I believe, that's over a mile away, that have really odd damage. Like half of the car looks like it's been caught on fire, but there's a straight line where the damage stops and the rest of the car is pristine. There's rubber missing, but the steel belted radials are still there. The doorknobs fell off, or the door handles fell off. The rubber piece in between the windshield and the car, you know, was missing, but the window was still there. The interior of some of these cars is burnt out. Some of the engines are on fire. There's famous pictures of all of this paper blowing around in the middle of like burning cars in this massive, you know, destruction. But there's no, this paper isn't on fire. You know, if this was jet fuel and or thermite cordite, there should be charred paper. But the paper's fine. The filing cabinets they were in are gone, but the paper is fine. So she kept collecting information like this, and her website is you know, lots of photos, lots of pictures, lots of video. She isn't speculating. This is all documented, plus her book is absolutely fantastic, and I'm not paid to say that. This book is outrageously awesome. You know, high-definition color photos to go along with every claim or supposition. So As you go through all of this, you're thinking, damn, you know, this doesn't fit into thermate or thermite. Another huge point she makes is if this was a controlled demolition, and she's asked architects and engineers for 9/11, okay, if it was thermate and thermite, how many bombs were in there? You know, how many physical bombs would this take? How much wire would have to be laid if these, charges were set remote controlled? What frequency were you using? Because there's cell phones, microwaves, radio waves. You know, the top of one of the towers is a giant transmission antenna. How did you do this? How could this be done wirelessly without inadvertently being set off? So right. There's just piece after piece that isn't fitting together that made her scratch her head. And then I think we're coming up on a break, and I'll wrap up her aha moment as when we come back.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I wanted to mention was Building 6, the exact same thing happened. A lot of people know about Building 7, but Building 6, just pieces of the building just disappeared into thin air. And very strange, same thing that happened to the cars that you were talking about. So we'll talk more about that on the other side of this break. You're listening to Sovereignty Sundays. This is Paranoid. Got my guest Jacob, and we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We're back. This is Sovereignty Sundays with Paranoid. That's me. I've been called Paranoid for so long, I just finally stopped fighting it and decided to adopt it as my name. So here I am, Paranoid. I got my guest tonight, Jacob, from Go Find the Others and Next Step Radio Show. And I got a lot of people in the chat room. I just want to give love to everybody that showed up to listen to the live show. Everybody that shows up and listens to the podcast, you can get those on livefree.fm or Defiant View. And everybody that shows up and supports this type of information, and it's always appreciated. We don't sell videos. We don't do money bombs. We do this out of our own pockets to try and, you know, get some information out there that maybe you guys haven't heard. And a lot of times, the people that are well-funded in this movement are very good at hiding some information as well, just as complicit in hiding information as the mainstream media seems oftentimes. So tonight we're talking about some stuff that is along that vein, and we're talking about Dr. Judy Wood and her work and directed energy weapons and free energy, perpetual energy, zero-point energy, and the whole impact of that. That's not exactly what we had planned for the show, but that's where we're going, and it's been a great conversation so far. And those of you that are listening live and those of you that are checking out the podcast or the MP3 download are getting a treat tonight. So, Jacob, thanks for joining me tonight, and I guess we were talking about some of the things that happened on 9/11 that can't be explained with simple explosions or simple pancaking of jet fuel melted steel buildings. And one of the things that you mentioned was the toasted cars, and I've seen the pictures. Judy has all these pictures in her book and on her website, and the pictures speak a million words. They show these cars that are, you know, like you mentioned, almost, you know, a straight line where there's damage to these cars on one half of the line and they're perfectly intact on the other. There's also Building 6, which parts of Building 6 just evaporated into thin air. There was a guy saying that he was standing in Building 6 and everything went black, and when the clouds finally cleared, there was just a hole in the wall. There was nothing but dust, and he could see the sky outside. And that definitely, you know, those two things cannot be explained by controlled demolition theory. They cannot be explained by thermite or thermite. They cannot be explained by jet fuel. And what Judy kind of gets into in her book is how more than likely the possibility of what happened was that some sort of new exotic type of energy-based weapon that that we, the mainstream public, have no idea exists. Before we get back into that, though, one of the also possible explanations for the towers and the complete lack of substance for those towers and the quick demolition is the possibility that the towers themselves were built to be destroyed, and they were intentionally left hollowed out, and only certain floors actually having anything to do or anything on them, and the majority of the floors being hollow. And there's a lot of pictures that have surfaced that were from, I think, before the 80s or the mid-80s, when you could obviously see the sun blaring through the buildings as if there was no floors in between the windows and there was nothing on the floors. What is your opinion about the whole idea that possibly the towers themselves were hollow in preparation for this event?
The first thing that strikes me, and I kind of have a mantra that the, truth is the ultimate experience is the ultimate truth. If you have experienced it, then it is true. Everything else is kind of a sliding scale of possible. So when I look at evidence now. One thing I do, not being a slave or a victim anymore, is I ask myself what I think. In my experience, in my knowledge, in my quest, what do I see here? You know, forget what all these experts are saying. What I see when I look at photos of the tower still there is the world's largest 11. It's a man-made 11. Yes, they were built to be brought down on 9/11. The evidence is right in our face. It's the world's largest 11. Of course, they were built to be brought down on 9/11. So then you look at, yeah, like that photo you mentioned I came across. The sun's rising in the background, and you can clearly see through these buildings. And it's not, you know, an ancient picture, you know, before people had moved in. It's, you know, whether it's the late 80s or early 90s, I'm not sure. But, yes, these things were designed to come down from the get. And, you know, even your mainstream alternative media types will tell you that, you know, they closed down certain floors and, you know, this and that. And part of the reason they're struggling financially is they, you know, they never reached full occupancy and, you know, all this other stuff, which is possibly true. But I don't think it was ever designed to be, you know, fully occupied. They were built from the beginning to be brought down in one of the world's largest stage shows, a magic trick. Like I said, it was going to go off no matter what. Because we'll invade anybody we want at any time. They don't need a false flag to hop off, you know, totalitarianism in other lanes. So I asked myself what I thought. These things look like an 11 to me. That's not coincidental. They came down on the 11th. You see, yeah, there's photos of these things where you can see through them. They look like giant glass, you know, structures. And so I firmly know that these things were designed for that day because, you know, myself tells me so. And then a lot of these pictures tell me so. And, you know, it happened. So that tells me so. You know, if you study numerology or the occult, you know, the 11 factors in, you know, to all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I firmly believe these things were designed from the beginning to be brought down as they were.
Yeah, there's so much evidence to that. I mean, it's almost hard to deny, you know, the Pentagon and the Twin Towers both broke ground on the September 11th of their respective years, and 9/11 or 9/11 being synonymous for emergency. I mean, there's just so much stuff that just blatantly screams out that, you know, even from breaking the ground from the very inception, that these things were planned for this event long into the future, which, you know, makes you wonder how long have they had this free energy type of technology, if that was what was used. And you mentioned Nikola Tesla earlier. A lot of people don't know who that is. It's pretty sad that for every 60 or 70 people that know who Einstein was, one of those 60 or 70 might know who Nikola Tesla was. He did a lot of groundbreaking, earth-shattering technology that even today mainstream science is still trying to catch up with or still trying to suppress, depending on how you look at it, you know, including cellular technology, including cars that would run off of, you know, harmonic vibrations of the earth. You mentioned something about the pyramids earlier. For people that don't know and have never heard of Nikola Tesla, never heard of, you know, directed energy weapons, or never heard of perpetual or free energy, and still think that, you know, this is what bothers me about the whole thing. It seems to me that when you look around at science and technology, we've moved ahead leaps and bounds on almost every aspect. I mean, the internet has just propelled most of computing, has propelled cell phones, have just taken forward leaps and bounds. Tablets and iPods and everything has gone forward by leaps and bounds. But when we look at, you know, automobiles and we look at airplanes, we're still stuck on the exact same method of propulsion and method of combustion engines that we've been using for many lifetimes. And it seems like science has propelled leaps and bounds forward on every other aspect of life. But when it comes to those two things, you know, jet propulsion, rockets, and automobiles, it seems like we've just hit a brick road and we haven't moved forward in years and years and years. And to think that that's just, you know, the way it was, to think that there's not some sort of deliberate brick wall there, is impossible for me to accept that as the explanation for this. So another possible explanation is that maybe we do have propulsion and energy and forms of transportation available to us that do not, you know, exist on this restricted oil-based reality, that maybe these alternatives are being suppressed for some reason. And when you kind of get into what those alternatives might be, the reasons for suppression are numerous, but kind of just give an explanation of to the theory of both directed energy weapons and where the directed energy weapons come from as far as free energy goes.
Okay, the planet, okay, there's a new, not a new science, but Newtonian physics is, and Einsteinian physics, E equals MC squared, you know, these aren't the end-all, be-all theories of everything. You know, there's holes in all of them, and people have been scrambling to figure out what else is at play. The planet, okay, let's start on this, the atomic level. Okay, we're told that atoms have a nucleus and electrons orbiting around them. And it's this constant state of motion. We're told that the Earth rotates on its axis and also orbits around the sun in a constant state of motion. We're told that galaxies spin all of these solar systems around a galactic center. Everything is in motion from the atomic to the galactic level, and there's no cords or batteries included, you know, with any of these. So motion, you know, and not to sound new agey or weird, but the Earth is a spaceship. This thing is flying tens of thousands of miles per hour through space. It's being propelled. There's some form of propulsion involved in the planetary physics. And if you've been alive, I've been alive for 33 years, experiences the ultimate truth. I've experienced 33 separate sets of four seasons a year. I'm pretty convinced that this planet is moving. I don't see any extension cords, and I don't have to change the batteries. So space propulsion is possible without combusting fuel. I've never seen a rocket trail or the gas tank for this planet, nor do I have to refuel the atoms that make up my physical structure. I have a refrigerator with which some of my children's artwork is hung. I have magnets holding them up that I don't have to change the batteries in, and they are not plugged into anything. So I have physically experienced free energy. I know it's possible. I know it can be used for propulsion and energy, a la my refrigerator magnet. So how does this work? Positive and negative. This beautiful interplay between positive and negative. Just like the whole entire cosmos, whether it's male or female, whether it's night or day, hot or cold, up or down, right or wrong, right and left, everything we experienced is defined by two sets of opposites. Not to be confused with opposames, like Republican and Democrat. See, the New World Order will throw all kinds of fake opposites in front of us, but real opposites, the universe is made of. How all of this moves, how the human species propagates itself, is a beautiful interplay between male and female. So there's a science that's been around, I say, the whole damn time. But a lot of people say, you know, recently, there's lots of names for it. Vortex, base science, torsion physics. You know, it goes by lots of names because it isn't, you know, quote unquote mainstream yet. So I'll just use torsion physics. Torsion physics involves a toroid or a spinning, two spinning components. Again, it's this interplay between positive and negative. The core of the Earth, the Earth's core, rotates in one direction. The crust of the Earth rotates in the opposite direction. Just like if you put, you know, opposite magnets, they either attract or repel each other. Everybody can feel that energy that's everywhere. It's this Ezekiel in the Bible, if you're, you know, the Christian type. They talk about the wheel within the wheel. This beautiful intermingling between positive and negative polarities is how everything propels itself, what we call forward, from the atomic to the galactic level. The Nazis figured this out. Tesla figured this out. If you're hoping little green men from the Pleiades are here to save us, I don't want to ruin your day. But you can take, let's say, a flying disc and have the, let's say, core of that disc spin in one direction, the shell of that disc spin in the opposite direction, and it will create its own gravity. That gravity itself is the opposite of the Earth's gravity. Again, this beautiful intermingling between opposite polarities, and you can have lift and propulsion depending on the rates of speed between these two. A lot of people may be familiar with maglev rail trains, magnetic levitation rail trains. The same principle, you have the rail of the train, one pole of a magnet, the skid of a train, the opposite pole. There is a little bit of magnetic energy between the two, so these things glide frictionlessly. Above ground with wind resistance can do 600-700 miles an hour if you put them in a vacuum tube subway style. They can do 15,000 miles an hour. And if anybody doubts that, go to your local bank, and when that little carrier thing comes out, put your PIN and your deposit slip in there. Watch the door close. You'll see a vacuum. It's sucking all the air out. And then this thing magically goes from your car inside the bank. Now, it's a twisting little tube, but lay that tube out straight. And instead of Velcro on a coin carrier, make it opposite pole magnets. And this thing will do 15,000 miles an hour between your car and the bank. We've all experienced this. It's reality. Maglev rail trains, you know, your bank's drive-through window, you've seen them. They're there. Here's, you know, a little more beautiful, closer to home part. If you inhale and exhale, there's that intermingling between positive and negative. Your heart is a vortex machine that coordinates your blood flow, which is full of iron, red blood cells that look like toruses. And if you're familiar with high tech, you know, new fangled science, we've all heard of plasma. Plasma is another word for blood. The human body is a free energy machine. Yes, we eat food. That food replaces dead cells. That's the stuff we're made of, but that's not our energy. Because whether you were breastfed or bottle-fed, you were able to breathe and scream and cry and poop and pee before you ate. The energy was there first. The human body, inhaling and exhaling, is an intermingling of these opposite polarities. Your heart, your plasma, all of these things are magnetic. They're yes and no. And so if you look at what Nikola Tesla was doing, there's a couple ways he went with it. As the Earth itself, the core spins one way and the crust spins the other, as we're magnetically flying through space, that leaves, we're all familiar with the Van Allen radiation belt or the Aurora Borealis, there's this magnetic field around the planet that is able to be tapped into. And Tesla figured out how to do it with a Tesla coil, which is, again, Another way to say torsion or vortex, tornadoes, hurricanes, going back to 9/11, a hurricane is a giant vortex. Think of all the energy that is emitted during a hurricane. Where does that come from? It is a beautiful intermingling between a cold front and a hot front. You spark off some kind of condensation nuclei, and these two opposite poles of our atmosphere do this neat little dance we call tornadoes and hurricanes. So Tesla can look at a hurricane and say, man, this energy is coming from somewhere. Well, it's being sucked out of, the magnetic field around the Earth. So you can tap into it that way. You can also emit frequencies. We are all familiar with radio waves. We love radio here with your show and mine. So that energy, that radio wave, that signal takes your voice from the FM transmitter to your little radio, and the voice is heard. How is that done? Well, what is a radio wave? It's a wave. What's a wave? It's a sine and a cosine. It's up and a down. If you look at a wave graph, it's a beautiful intermingling of positive and negative. So Tesla figured that out. So not only can you draw from the Earth's magnetic field, you can also create different frequencies, a la radio waves that we all agree are there. A harp is a directed energy weapon. The LRAD is a directed energy weapon. These pain rays are directed energy weapons. Our radios and microwaves work this way. So this energy is here. It's not the airy-fairy, science fiction nonsense. It's reality. If anybody listening has breathed in and breathed out during this conversation, you're a free energy machine. Your brain, we all let, EKGs and these things, brain waves are measurable. I mean, they have weight and frequency to them. You can measure brain waves. Your brain is a directed energy. If you use it wrongly, a weapon, your thoughts. Not a lot of people disagree with, some form of telepathy somewhere or clairvoyance. Well, that's people using their brain like, the Luciferian types use harp. So this stuff's all around. These quote-unquote mystics have tapped into it. And like I said, you can draw from the Earth's magnetic field, or you can create your own waves like harp or LRAD or even your thoughts. When you send a thought out, or an idea pops into your head, that's how it happens. It's a physical wave. It's measurable. Here it comes. Your brain interprets it. So we, the human body operates just like all of this technology. So the opera singer in the wine glass is the easiest explanation for most people. I played trumpet for 10 years. If you don't have a mechanical tuner, you and another trumpet player can each play the same note. And if somebody's off tune, you're going to hear a reverb in between the two notes, whether it's B flat or whatever. And until you adjust your tone, elongate or shorten your frequency, you can hear the beats in between because your sound waves are colliding into each other. Once they're both in tune, they resonate and that beat is gone. So you can tune trumpets with the same way. Even in the biblical times, the walls of Jericho were destroyed by, horns aplenty, and they walked on the walls for 3 days and played trumpets in front of them. And this sound wave, directed energy weapon, crumbled walls. Everybody's seen the opera singer hit a high note, and the glass shatters. Multiply that times a billion, and that's the ultimate conclusion Dr. Judy Wood came to, is you can send a concrete steel frequency just like an opera singer would at the building, and particle dissociation is what it's called. They basically shattered those buildings with directed energy. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. It's to think that, that might be the explanation as to what made all of that dust, what made everything just disappear. It's very feasible and very viable. It's outside of most people's ability to grasp mentally, but I think that looking at all of her evidence and looking at just the logical conclusions, it seems like it's the most likely one. So we'll be right back on the other side of this break. We've got about another half hour. Thanks for joining us. This is Sovereignty Sundays, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is Sovereignty Sundays on DefiantForYou.com and LiveFree.fm. We're here every Sunday night. You can tune in to us. I guess me. I don't have multiple personality disorder voices in my head, so I guess I should say me. And whoever my guest happens to be this week, it happens to be Jacob Appelman from Next Step Radio Show, and I do this show every Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here on Defiant For You Media, DefiantForYou.com. And I just really want to give a shout out real quick to Tobias. If you guys tune into my show, if you want to come in extra 2 hours early and check out Tobias' show, it's broadcast right here as well, both on LiveFree.fm and Defiant For You Media, DefiantForYou.com. And our two shows, they seem to mesh very well together. So it's a pretty good Sunday night lineup. It's better than watching football or the crap on the television. So if you got some time and you want to listen to 4 hours of really great talk radio, tune in Sunday nights starting at 8 o'clock Eastern on DefiantForYou.com and check out four of the, I think, the most empowering hours of audio that you can get in this quote-unquote truth movement, because we get down to some of the ugly truths and some of the facts that most of the people in this movement want to ignore, and that's the fact that the solutions are there, and the first step towards getting to those solutions is stepping out of the victim mentality and starting to realize the power that you have and starting to use that and utilize that power. And Tobias does a really great job on explaining that from a esoteric spiritual type of point of view. And I try to do it from a legal and philosophical point of view, and the two shows together, they're just a great lineup, so I feel incredibly blessed to be able to follow him on Sunday nights. But definitely, if my listeners have not checked out his show, next week, try and get here early, try and get here 2 hours early, and tune into that show, because the two shows together are just great. They go great together, and you guys will not be disappointed, that's for sure. And also, check out everything that they got on DefiantForYou.com, because some of the shows that we're bringing you here are, well, you're not going to hear the information that we're bringing anywhere else, even on the alternative media, because, well, just because we take that extra incentive to kind of bring you guys the solutions that most people don't want to look at. And what I kind of want to get into in the last segment of the show, we've really just kind of been freestyling it the whole time, but where I want to kind of wrap it up and head off in the direction of for the end of the show is I want to kind of get into what the implications might be if this type of technology, this free energy, this anti-gravity technology, what it might mean to society as a whole and to the power structure that exists. We talked earlier about petrodollars and how the majority of world power rests in petrodollars. I think that, you know, even petrodollars probably aren't at the top of the pyramid. I think that belief system is what's at the top of the pyramid, the belief that popes, that bankers, that presidents have actual power and authority over other people. I think that that's probably at the root of everything. But definitely the one of the number one things that they keep us in line with is oil and our ability to travel, our ability to transport goods and services. All of these things are very dependent on oil right now, and the power structure, you know, the whole of society staying the way it is very dependent on oil remaining the top dog as far as energy goes. I remember when I was a kid and that movie Back to the Future 2 came out, and I was so excited that, you know, soon we were going to have hoverboards, and I even made a little working version of a semi hoverboard. It wasn't obviously one that people could stand on or that was very stable at all, but it worked off of magnetic plates, and I thought it would be so sweet to have an actual working model from Mattel and flying cars. We were all promised flying cars, and now it's 2011, halfway through 2011, geez Louise, and we still have no flying cars. I mean, there's talk of the world ending in less than 16 months or so, 18 months, and we still don't have our damn flying cars and our anti-gravity. But when we look up in the skies and we see these things that most of us call UFOs, and there's lots of different explanations for what they might be, but when you look into to Nikola Tesla and Foo Fighter technology, like our guest was mentioning earlier, the Nazis had, you know, Foo Fighters that were UFOs with swastikas painted on them, and they were actually flying, you know, anti-gravity machines that worked off of this, possibly, you know, two engines thrusting in opposite polarities. What would the ramifications be if society was allowed to have this technology? How would that affect and empower society, and how would it affect and disempower the power structure as it is right now?
This component to the whole paradigm here, the energy part, is second for a reason. The first part, that word free, is what's terrifying to the control freaks. Their game is domination and subservience. You know, this changes everything, because if you, let's say, have if you can shatter buildings with this, you can tunnel with this. You could make a LA to New York subway underground in a couple weeks, maybe a couple days if you stayed on it. You vacuum that thing out and do a maglev rail style thing there. You can get people and goods coast to coast in the matter of minutes. If everybody has the ability to heat and cool their domicile, sans a utility bill, now you can focus on things like not working so damn much. If you do that, then you have a little more time to, I don't know, grow your own food and teach your own children. And then all of a sudden you're less and less dependent on the power structure, and that is the part that freaks them out. Why do you need now to take out a mortgage? And incidentally, the Latin root of that word is death, if you know what morta or mortal means. Why would you need to take out a gauge of your death to live if you can, I don't know, build your own house, quarry your own rocks, grow your own food, start your own business, transport yourself effortlessly without a credit card? You know, this changes everything, and that is, you know, what freaks them out. Their whole entire control paradigm currently rests on oil, interest-bearing fiat currency backed by oil, and military domination. What is Blackwater going to do to you if you have, I don't know, your own LRAD? They can do whatever they want 500 yards away. You don't even have to start killing people or join a militia. Turn your LRAD on, and they're going to stay back. This changes everything. this is peace on earth. The free part scares them, not the energy part, because, like I said, this will allow individual communities to be self-sufficient in every single component that they have domination over us.
Yeah, and when we look at, like, how gas and gas prices affect everything, I mean, because gas goes up, that means that the price to move goods goes up. That means that the price of eggs goes up. The price of milk goes up. So, you know, yeah, you're spending more to get to the grocery store, but because of that, once you get to the grocery store, you're spending more as well. And even if you don't get your stuff from the grocery store, I mean, the effects of this are seen pretty much across the table. It's not just, you know, I can't go drive aimlessly on Friday night because gas is too expensive. It becomes, I can't afford to put food on my table because gas is too expensive. I can't afford to go visit the in-laws or, you know, I can't afford to go visit my grandmother or whoever because, you know, gas is too expensive and I can't afford to drive across the state or to another state. And then, you know, then when it comes down to, because, you know, we're still stuck on gas and the petrodollar and all of that, you know, how many lives, both American and Middle Eastern, have been lost in order to keep gas as the predominant propulsion ingredient? And I don't know, man. I mean, when you look at what first brought me into this whole conspiracy realm, I guess, was when I was about 15 years old, so about 15, 16 years ago, when I started smoking marijuana and I started looking at some of the other things that marijuana was useful for, the hemp plant, and how it could, you know, completely replace cotton, it could completely replace the lumber industry as far as, you know, paper goes, and how it could completely wipe out the oil industry and the corn industry as far as transportation goes. And when you look at these things and you wonder, you know, if there's such an obvious solution right there, why is it being ignored? Why is it being suppressed? And then when you kind of get into more stuff and you start going down, you know, the energy rabbit hole even further, and you realize that that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's all kinds of different types of motors out there that people have. There's all types of different types of perpetual energy machines, and we hear constantly that it's an impossibility and it doesn't exist and we're still trying to get to zero point energy, but it's the same propaganda that they give us about the cure for AIDS or the cure for cancer. We're still trying to find it. It's out there, but we just haven't found it yet. But the truth of the matter is, on both occasions, we have found both of these things, and we've had them for a very, very long time. And like you said, it would mean basically the undoing of the current power structure. How far, or you know, how far do we have to go down this road, do you think, in your opinion, before we just finally get sick of it and say, look, we're no longer going to accept the way that you guys are controlling it, and we've got these solutions? I mean, I would think that with internet and access to information that we would already be beyond this point, but it seems like we're still stuck. What do you think that it's going to take before finally people realize, hey, we need to stop putting our faith in presidents and parliament and big corporations, and we need to start taking this information that we have and start utilizing it? Obviously, on a small scale, people like yourself, people like myself, have already started doing this. When do you think it's going to be that, you know, shift in the paradigm for the masses where it becomes a tidal wave? Because I feel that we're on the brink of it. I just wonder, you know, how long we're going to be on the brink before we finally see the tide change.
Yeah, like you said, I think we're definitely on the brink of it. You know, to me, Nikola Tesla and his work is why we had World War I, to freak everybody out and put that fear paradigm, war paradigm, gas paradigm, international banking paradigm, you know, back to the fore. Same with World War II and the flying disc. Same with People like John Hutchison, the guy that built Coral Castle, John Searle. There's lots of people that have figured it out. And like I was mentioning earlier, when this happens is a direct result in direct proportions to when we make it happen. See, life is what you manifest. If you want this now, then you start on it now. If you're victim mentality and you're going to wait for this to come to you, it could be forever or a long time from now. So that's, you know, I switched my focus from trying to get other people to wake up once I realized this was here. John Hutchison figured it out. Tesla figured it out. Dr. Judy Wood figured it out. What if these people started working together to implement some of these things instead of spending all this energy fighting the system and joining the Tea Party and voting for Ron Paul and trying to get, you know, auditing the Fed and arresting the bankers? You know, that's the trick. The second we put our focus into finding the others, the faster this will happen. You know, there's people doing this work, Marco Roden, Randy Powell. I'm in collaboration with a couple guys, Robert Ote and Matt Presti, who are bringing forth the Walter Russell is another guy. I mean, he figured this out in the turn of the century. He was, you know, one of Mark Twain's friends, and Nikola Tesla, you know, credited a lot of his ideas to Walter Russell, and Matt Presti and Robert Ote are bringing this idea. So as soon as we start finding the others, forget about trying to convince people, you know, the meek may inherit the earth. It's not going to be everybody. You know, we can do this now. And so it depends on each individual. I'm working on it. Go to your local hardware store. Get a bunch of magnets and some wheels. We've all sat in science class. We've had that big magnet in each hand, and when, you know, two sides will suck together, two sides will repel. Well, I don't know. Say like a bicycle wheel on a fork. Put two of the, you know, fill those rims with magnets and get them closer, and you're going to see them repel each other. Then the wheels start spinning. Uh-oh. You know, it takes like five magnets, two bicycle forks, two old rims, and you've already got yourself a perpetual motion machine. So then you find others that are doing this, and you refine that. Or jump on board with people who are a few steps down that road. Or instead of a money bomb to Police State 5, go donate to Matt Presti and Robert Ote, who are trying to bring Walter Russell science to the forefront. It's up to us. You know, we can, I don't know, stop paying federal taxes that support this nonsense, except the fact that we may have to go to jail, which at this point is a better alternative to me, and take that 30% of your income and find the others who are on it. And then if 10 million people donated $30 to the people that were on this and they all collaborated, I would say 6 months we could have working prototypes ready to go. And instead of wanting to do this for profit and be your own little fractional reserve ego boss, start, you know, sorry, I got a bunch of reverb right there. Start doing this for humanity, for your children, because if you know how biological reproduction works, that beautiful intermingling between opposites, you know, your DNA is in those children. You know, our kids are us. You know, the New World Order, they built these towers for this purpose. How long ago? And we can't even, you know, sacrifice the next 6 months and 30% of our income to set ourselves free. We need to start thinking long term. Maybe our lifetimes, this isn't going to be, you know, on every house. But what if we built a platform for our kids to do it? You know, it starts the second anybody's ready. I've already started. I quit fighting a long time ago. You know, I'm going to find the others. Paranoid's one of those, because, you know, these Luciferians, you know, the magic trick rests in the mind of the person watching the magic. You know, David Copperfield didn't make that elephant disappear. David Copperfield made you think that elephant disappeared. You know, Paranoid has brought to the world, you know, these judges and prosecutors, you know, they work together. They're not in charge of you, and it's, you don't even have to fight them. go in there and ask him, prove that you're in charge of me. And guess what? They can't. So then the battle's over. Now you focus on finding the others. And the more of us that take Paranoid's approach to this petty anti, you know, local police state crap, the more of us that withdraw from the system, you know, we could stop the Iraq war tomorrow if we stop funding it. Are they going to freak out and throw a fit? Absolutely. But the bottom of that rabbit hole is a mirror. Those Iraqi deaths are on your hands if you're paying for it or you're a soldier over there. The soldiers could conscientiously object. If they took their oath and they are serious, they would come home on their own dime. You know, like I said, jail is a better alternative than what's going on, and we could stop it tomorrow. The IRS has 101,000 total employees. It would only take 10 million people withdrawing their support to watch it crumble. If 20 million, 30 million, 40 million, if 50 million people stop paying their federal income tax, they can't come get us, because that fear, false evidence appearing real, only exists in our minds of those who are afraid of these dark magicians, because they have no power. They've co-opted ours. And this tidal wave hits the planet the second we're ready. The second you pull your kids out of school, they can dumb down the curriculum all they want. The second we stop eating McDonald's, the second you turn off Fox News is when the propaganda ends. It started for me. When everybody gets on board, I don't know. But my telos now is to find the others who are ready, and we'll move forward. And if five of us make it out the other end, those will be my four brothers forever. And, sorry about the rest. We did what we could, right?
Absolutely. And when we look around, I mean, right now there's so much distractionary stuff going on, and we've got the elections coming back up. And like you were saying about just turning off the TV or turning off, stop going to McDonald's. What I really would like to see, and I know that at least right now it's not even a possibility, because the majority of the people, even inside this movement, their mindset is just still stuck in that old slave master mentality. But instead of seeing Ron Paul elected for president, and instead of seeing, 51% of the votes go to Ron Paul, I would like to see 100% of the people just not vote. And I think that that would be a much more effective way of affecting some sort of positive change in our society, is just to say, it doesn't matter to me who's president, because really there is no such thing as a president. It's just a man who wears a silly title who thinks that it gives him godlike powers, and I'm not going to participate in this game anymore. And I myself haven't voted in a while. I think the first time I did vote was, I don't even remember, but I haven't voted in a while, and I get hated on constantly because I don't support Ron Paul, and I don't support Dennis Kucinich and Rand Paul and all these guys, because I don't, I'm not going to vote for somebody to be my slave master just because I happen to agree with them or find their positions more agreeable to my own. It doesn't change the fact that they're going to be my slave master, and we need to get past that mentality as a whole. Before we go, why don't you go ahead and shout out the websites where people can go ahead and check out. I know you've got the Next Step Radio Show. I know you also got some, audio suicides out there where you just got a bunch of stuff mixed together that are great. I think the people should check those out. Where can they go to find some of your other work?
All right. My first website ever was www.infowarts.com, infowarts.com. InfoWarts is a condition one gets from being mind blank their whole life. That website is still up, but it's not, it's frozen from the last time I messed with it. If you type infowarts.com without the three W's or gofindtheothers.com, that'll take you to my new website. On there, Paragon Radio, which is broadcast on a 100,000-watt FM station in the heart of Kansas City, Missouri, is where I got my start in the radio world, Paragon Radio and Ben Johnson. It's a five-hour talk show. I make audio documentaries called Suicides. It's a mix of everything, like a suicide Mr. Misty, a suicide snow cone. There's news clips, inspirational speeches, poetry. I've featured a bunch of your stuff when you've been on other shows. Meta researchers, the whole bit. So I post all my suicides there. Radio Redux is a old show that we used to do on KKFI in Kansas City. The archives of that are still up there. And then the Next Step Radio Show is my solo gig where I'm finding the others who have taken the next step. You know, like you said, waking up isn't enough. Now it's time to get out of bed and do something. And those people who are doing that, you know, I'm down with, and they're my brothers forever. And we'll take these next steps together. We'll collaborate instead of dominate. GoFindTheOthers.com, Paragon Radio, Suicides, the Radio Redux, and the Next Step Radio Show. I co-produced the first three, and the Next Step is my solo gig. Where I interview all kinds of people who realized they had the power to make some kind of difference, and they did it.
All right. Well, thanks again, Jacob, for joining us tonight. This is Sovereignty Sundays, another great show. Go find theothers.com and tune in next week on livefree.fm and defineforyou.com.
Thanks, Bernoit.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders and boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Sovereignty Sundays with Paranoid.